do my best. I started out first before anybody else, but I stopped as usual. Everything I do is futile. I started to help, but then I changed my mind. I started and I stopped so much, I'd just be wasting time. Well, by that time, I had had enough. I thought I had met the whole family, but the last one was really rough. Emmy Tater. Oh, Emmy was standing there right at the front door, waiting to see who she could mock, taking every idea she hear, not to do, but to block. Never in her life had an original idea, but she needs to be seen. That kind of tater makes me want to scream. By this time, I had made up my mind I had to get out of this church and leave these taters behind. Then the Spirit said, child, stand still and stay. Listen, my child, to what I have to say. Don't leave your church for nobody now or later, because everywhere you go, you're going to sure enough find a tater. Whether here or over there, child, those taters are everywhere. They always try and give advice, and I've never seen a tater do what's right. Let the Holy Spirit tell you what to do. Here's the recipe for tater stew. Take your righteous prayers because they avail it much. So get out on your knees and show them taters your stuff. Let the onions, garlic, and bell peppers be the magnificent three. God, Jesus Christ, and last but not least, the Holy Spirit. They can't even handle me. Cut them and peel them with the sword, which is the word. Wash them with the blood of Christ. It cleanses all things. You mean you haven't heard? Top it up with the shield of faith. Have patience, let it simmer. It will be well worth the wait. Now get back in this church and be all you can be. Cause God's work can't go on if a tater is in the lead. You see, this story is not to offend, but it's only to try and keep us from sin. And I pray that none of us and the taters are kin. Amen.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT. Gina Alexandria.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magazine. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you now and I give you glory. Lord, I praise you for this people, your people, the worshipers. I thank you, Lord, for the praises. I thank you, Lord, for the participators and even the spectators. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for blessing us once again to come to your house, that we will give you praise, that there'll be a sound of thunder, a sound of praise in your house. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you visited us once again to let us know that you're here, to let us know, Lord God, that we can overcome through you. We can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. We thank you, God. Father, I ask you, Lord God, that you look on the bereaved families, Lord, that you would give them comfort, that you would keep them, Lord God, in perfect peace as they keep their minds stayed on you. Father, we remember them. We remember the sick and shut in. But Lord God, most of all, remember the person that pressed their way today. The person that pressed their way through all the hurt, all the pain, all the depression, all the discouragement, all the disheartening things that have happened in their life. I thank you for them, Lord. Now, Father, I ask that you speak a word by your Holy Spirit, a word of comfort, a word of encouragement, a word, Lord God, that will edify us, build us, and cause us to be the church of the living God. We thank you now, Lord, that you've given me clarity of thought and precision of speech. You allowed my tongue to be as the pen of a ready writer, and the hearts of the hearers be the tablet. I shall write upon the word of faith, the word of God that brings healing, deliverance, power, and peace. Father, we thank you right now. We thank you that you've given us the word that sustains and strengthens us. We thank you that you've given us, Lord God, the anointing that destroys every yoke and take away every burden. We thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus that covers us, cures us, cleanses us, and connects us to you. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost who guides us and gives us what we need from you. Father, we thank you, God, that you looked over the celestial banisters of heaven and pours out a... Amen. Would you just grab your Bible for a moment and let's look at Revelation, the book of Revelation, or the revelation of Jesus Christ according to John, chapter number 3. And we're going to finish up these churches, and today we're going to look at the last church, which happens to be the Laodicean church, which happens to be the seemingly lazy church. Amen. Although it's a, this word is a, it's written prophetically and practically, we can still see some personal things here. And I guarantee God has a way of encouraging us through the scriptures. Amen. We're going to look at verse number 14. I'm going to parade and peruse the verse 14 through verse number 22. When you have it, say, I have the word, and I'm ready to receive it. Amen. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 14. And the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, said, the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither hot, cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that thy shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come unto him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Amen. Amen. I want to use from those verses the thought, because we have a lot of challenges that go on today. The ice bucket challenge, the gospel challenge. But I want to issue to you and drop the gauntlet here, the church challenge. The church challenge. Amen. The grass wither, the flower fade away, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. I want to use from those verses the thought, because we have a lot of challenges that go on today. The ice bucket challenge, the gospel challenge. But I want to issue to you and drop the gauntlet here, the church challenge. The church challenge. Amen. The grass wither, the flower fade away, but the word of God stands forever. Amen.
Oh yeah, so he said that you're blind, and so since you're blind, you don't even know what you need. And since you don't know what you need, you really need me to tell you. But they wasn't listening to him. They wasn't listening to what God had to say. They wasn't listening to what God wanted them to do. They thought they had it going on. We don't really need to hear from God like that, because we already arrived. We already got enough money. We already got what we need. We got enough medicine. Oh, come on. We got enough material. Come on and say hallelujah. Oh, yeah, that's what they were saying. And he said, you don't know that even though you got some clothes, you still naked to me. I see your nakedness. Come here, Adam and Eve. Who told you you were naked? You were blind to your nakedness until you decided to compromise my word. And now your nakedness is shown, and now you're miserable because you got fig leaves on irritating you to the point that you gotta hide from me, and I'm the only one that can help you. Boy, I'm trying to preach this. Are y'all in the house today? Oh my God. Oh yeah, he says, look at their condition. Their condition is a bad condition. They're in a situation that they got themselves into because they become part of the world. Then he says here, look at their counsel. I like this. He says, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich and white and raiment, and thou may be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou may see. I like this, because now God is, he doesn't leave you not knowing what you need to do. He don't leave you wondering. He counsels you. Tells us what we need to do. Some people say, I don't know what to do. Pray. Pray. Read the Bible, because in there, in the scriptures, will make you wise. Make you know what to do. Come on and say amen here. He says, now, let me tell you something. Here's my counsel. He said, go and buy gold tried in the fire. Buy of me. In other words, it's going to cost you something to be spiritual. It's going to cost you something to answer this challenge. Anybody here? Are y'all there? Let me. Y'all there today? He said, I'm counseling you to go and buy gold. In other words, this gold represents a spiritual value. He said that you got to come to me to get this. He said, buy gold of me. He said, you got to come to me and you got to give your all. The Bible says, if any man come to me and follow after me, Jesus said, he must take up his cross and what? Follow me. In other words, it costs you something. He said that sometimes you have to give up family. He said that who giveth up family and friends and all their loved ones. He said that for my sake, he said that I'll give you back. I wish I had somebody. He said, he that findeth his life shall lose it, but he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. It costs you something to be spiritual. It costs you something to get what God wants from you. Am I in the church of the hot or cold, or am I in the lukewarm church this morning? Because it feels kind of lukewarmish in here. Oh, come on and say amen now. He said, I want to give you gold. I want you to have a value, some spiritual value. And the Bible lets us know here that this gold, what is gold? Gold is valuable. Gold, it most of the time determines how much a country has, determines how much money they actually got. And they would run the economy on gold, how much gold you have. Now, we got to understand gold is valuable, but another thing, gold is eternal. Gold won't go away. You may lose your material possessions. You may lose all the stuff that you got, but you may lose some friends and family, but if you got God, oh come on, it's like having gold, because now I'm still valuable. Now I got what's valued the most. I wish I had somebody here. But not only that, he says that you need to have a garment. And so what was he saying? You got to have some spiritual value because you got gold. And then he said the garment, you need to have some spiritual vestures. In other words, I need to dress right. I need to have some spiritual clothes on. And some of us, we come in the king's house and we come naked. Come on and say amen. We come naked, but it's up to him when he sees us naked. Just like the father, the prodigal son's father, he put a robe on him. God is saying, if you come to me naked and you realize that you're naked, oh, come on and say amen, then I will clothe you in righteousness. I'll give you some spiritual vestures. I'll dress you out in whatever I want you to wear. See, we got to understand something. When you was a child, you didn't choose your clothes. My mama chose mine. She made some of our stuff. I wish I had somebody. She made some of our clothes, and we wore what she brought to the house. And so nowadays, you got children, I ain't wearing that. And then we go spend all our hard-earned money because we got something brand new in the closet the children don't want to wear, but they can wear, and they don't want to because they don't see nobody else wearing it. But I beg to differ today. We got to stop doing that kind of stuff. But let me get back to this. We got to understand here that the Bible says that when God, he says, I'm going to give you, I'm going to clothe you. God is saying, just like the children that you have, that you buy clothes for, he said, I got something for you too, preach. I got to clothe you in righteousness. I got to clothe you in praise. I got to clothe you in holy vestures. Come on and say amen, so that nobody else can see your nakedness. What are you saying, preacher? What pastor is saying this morning is that people are looking for your faults and your frailties. People are looking for you to have some downside. They're looking for you so they can point at all the stuff that you've done wrong. But thanks be to God, I've been covered by the righteousness of God. You can't see what I got down on the... Lord, help me today. You can't see it so you can go talk about it. You can't see it so you can go gossip about it, because God got me covered. Yeah, I may have some faults. Yeah, I may have some failures. And yay, I may have some frailties. But thanks be to God, he has me covered. Do I have anybody here that say, I've been covered by the Lord? I'm so thankful that he covered me. I'm so thankful that he kept me when I couldn't keep myself. Do I have anybody? But not only that, he says, go buy eye salve so you can get some spiritual vision. You have spiritual value in the gold, spiritual vestures in the garment, and spiritual vision in the eye salve. He says that you got some eye problem. You got some glaucomic spirituality. And I'm telling you that you need to get some eye salve for your spiritual glaucoma. Come on and say amen. He said, I need you to understand that you got to have some spiritual vision. We got to go back to learning that we have to have a vision. The Bible say without a vision that the people perish. I want to let you know today that word perish means not to be effective. God is saying that you can't even affect your children if you don't have vision. God is saying you can't affect your community. You can't affect your job. In other words, you're powerless when you don't have a vision, when you don't have any restraint, when you don't abide by the word of God. You don't have no power. That's why the church is in the shape that it's in. We've been going after wealth and money. We've been following after prosperity. We've been looking for stuff that God said you can have anyway. Oh, come on and say amen. And not realizing that God is going to bless us. All we need to do is abide by his word. How do you think that your mother and father made it? How do you think that grandma made it with 13 children in the house, 2 house chickens, 1 cow and a pig? How do you think she made it? Oh, come on and say amen. She made it because she trusted in the word of the Lord. Now that's the church. Here's your challenge. Will you trust God when you can't trace him? I can't see your hand, but I know you're there. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Oh, yeah, they had all these things in the city. They had finances. They had pharmaceuticals. They had fashion. But God said, you don't have enough. We can have all kind of material, but God said, that's not enough. Look at what he does in verse 19. He gives us a word of compassion, for he said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. We need to be rejoicing that God is talking to us, because when we're not right, if God is talking to you, that means that he loves you. He said, I chasten the ones that I love. If God gives you a little spanking, don't be crying all day long. The spanking lasted 5 minutes. Oh, come on and say amen here. Yeah. I sometimes be fussing at little children. They done got a whooping an hour ago and they still crying. I said, the whooping is over. Now you can rejoice that it's already done. We need to start rejoicing instead of walking around talking about, look at what mama did, daddy did to me. God been whooping me. No, I ain't finna talk about how bad he whooped me. I'm finna talk about how good he's blessing me, how he gave me another chance. And if it had not been for the whooping that he gave me, I wouldn't be here today. If it had not been for God rebuking me, telling me when I'm wrong. If God is silent in your life, you're in trouble. If God ain't saying nothing to your life, you're in trouble. If God is not telling you when you're wrong, you're in trouble. If 9 times out of 10 you're not saved, preach. Oh, come on. If God is telling you that you're wrong and you know you're wrong, then guess what? You probably got God on the inside of you. If God is turned to closing doors when you go in the wrong direction, he's not letting you do what you would do in your flesh, then guess what? God loves you. He loves you enough to close those doors. He loves you enough to shut up some windows. He loves you enough to stop you in your tracks and tell you to turn around and go back the other way. Do I have anybody? Oh, y'all looking at me strange this morning, but I want you to know I'm challenging you to just rejoice at the chastisement. He says, many as I chastise, that's the word of compassion. And then he gives us a word of correction. He said, I rebuke, and he tells us, be zealous, and he said, repent. And so, in other words, God is saying, stop going the direction you're going in and turn around. God is calling us to an about face. He's saying, you need to turn around and go the other way. He said, the direction you've been going in, it looks like it's good, Lot. Lot went down to the plain of Sodom, and he saw the water and the valley and the green grass. It looked good, but when he got down there, it wasn't good. The people were hateful. The people were Sodomites, you know what I mean. The people were bad folks, and he went down there because he got rich, and he had plenty of water for his cattle and plenty of grass for his herds. And then the Bible says Abraham went the other way. But when it was time, I wish I had somebody. The Bible said that Sodom vexed Lot's righteous soul. In other words, it got on his nerves, but he stayed there because of what he had. And I want to tell you, church, you can't just stay there because of what you got. You got to say, I'm willing to give it up all for the Lord. I wish I had some people that say, I'm serious about this. I'm not playing. I don't just talk about being a Christian. I am being about a Christian. I wish I had somebody. I don't talk about it just being a Christian, but I'm going to live this Christianity because the world says that I'm nothing. The world says that this is a fake religion. Well, how come there's so many people that believe? How come I got so many witnesses? How come? Oh, come on and say amen. The world got 6 billion people in it, and out of that 6 billion, we almost got about 1 billion folks that say they're Christian. I wish I had somebody. And why is it that we got so many witnesses that say the Lord done something in their life? I wish I had somebody. If this thing is not real, so go tell Obama and the Supreme Court. Come on and say amen that this thing is real. Go tell the Mohammedans. Oh, come on, the Buddhists. Go tell them that this thing is real. Tell them that I know the Lord. Tell them that I know God, and he's the one that has healed my body, set me free, saved my children, helped me through my hardest time. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? I'm almost done here. I'm almost done. And he says in verse 20, he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now, we understand the condition of this church. We understand that God gave counsel to this church because he loves them. But then we understand here that God is saying, I stand at the door and knock. We understand now that God wants to have communion with this church. Preach. What is communion? Communion is having common union. Two words, common and union. I need to be common in union with you. I need to be hooked up with you all the time. It's a common thing to see God in the house. It's a common thing to see God move on somebody at the church. It's a common thing to see God heal somebody at the church. It's a common thing to see somebody get saved at the church. It's a common thing to see people rejoicing and praising God because his presence is right there at the church. Do I have anybody? He says, look at this. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now, I know theologically we used to say, and people still do say, that he's knocking at the door of your heart. And they always use that to call sinners to Christ. But I beg to differ today that this messes up our old theology, because he's not talking to the sinner here. He's talking to the church. He says to the church. And you know, that was a story of a man, and I'm almost done here. That was a story of a man, that this man, that he went to church, and they put him out the church. They said, you can't come here and worship. And they locked the doors on the last time. They put him out about 10 times. He got on the steps of the church, and he started crying. He said, I really wanted to be a part of that church. I don't understand why they won't let me in that church. While he had his head down, a stranger came and sat beside him. He said, what is wrong with you? He said that I've been trying to get in this church, and they won't let me be a part of that church. And then he looked up and he saw it was Jesus. And Jesus said, don't cry your eyes out. I've been trying to get in there myself, and I'm not able to get in. So come go with me. Do I have anybody here that say, I'm going to be a part of the real church? I'm going to be a part of the body of Christ. He said, I stand at the door and I knock. And so what he's saying is that I'm knocking at the door, and it's a church full of folks that's doing their own thing. They got their mind on Twitter. They got their mind on Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. They got their mind on what they're going to eat when they leave church. They got their mind on who talked about them and who did this and that to them. They got their mind on how bad they feel, and I'm just ready to get out of here. It's hot in here. They got their mind on everything but worshiping God, a preacher. They got their mind on playing video games on their phone. Come on and say amen. They're pulling up stuff and just looking at it. Ain't paying no attention to the word. I come to tell you, don't ignore God in his time of talking, because God has plenty that he wants to say. He said that I stand at the door and knock. Got a church full of people, but Jesus is on the outside. He said, I'm knocking at the door. He said, but if any man can hear my voice, that lets me know that not only is God knocking, but God is speaking. I wish I had somebody. He's speaking from outside of the church and calling us to open up the door. Do I have anybody here? Oh, come on and say yeah. You know one thing I like about God? He's a perfect gentleman. Do you know that he don't have to stand outside of the church and knock on the door? He can come in by himself without even opening the door. He did it once before when they were all assembled together, and Thomas said, I don't believe that he rose from the dead unless I can see his hands and the place of the nails in his feet. And all of a sudden, without opening up a window or opening up a screen door or opening up the door, Jesus appeared in the midst of the disciples and said, here are my scars. Put your hands in here. Do I have anybody that say, I understand that God don't have to stand on the outside, but what God wants is a willing vessel that'll open up the door. Do I have anybody that have the nerve enough to stop doing what you're doing and walk to the door? Do I have any Rhoda's in the house? Who was Rhoda when Peter knocked at the door? When they were having prayer, she went to the door, opened it up and saw Peter. Do I have anybody that's looking for an answered prayer? Anybody here still got hope? Come on and say yes. So what is hope? H-O-P-E. Hold on. Come on and say amen. Hold on. Pray expecting. I'm holding on and I'm praying and expecting God to do something. Come on and say yeah. He said, if you hear my voice, I want to have communion. I want to break bread with you. I want you to drink the blood and eat the body so we can be one together. Come on and say yeah. He said, to him that overcomes, I'll grant him to sit with me in my throne. He said, you're co-heirs. You're joint heir with Christ. I may be down today, but when God lifts me up, I'm going to reign. Oh, come on and say yeah. If we die with him, we'll reign with him. Come on and shout hallelujah. He said, I'll sup with him. You see, we got to understand, some of these young folks don't know what supper is. Supper time is a good time. You have breakfast, then you have lunch, and most of the time you have breakfast on the run, stop by Burger King or Dairy Queen. Then you have lunch with some folks that you pretend like you like, your work family, the people you work with. But when it's supper time, I'm having supper with the folks I love. Because in my house, when we was young, mama would cook supper, and by dusk dark, we all come in the house, we'll sit down, and we'll eat supper and drink Kool-Aid, laugh and talk, watch TV together, lean on one another, and love each other. Do I have anybody that accept the church challenge and say, I want to be in the number, I want to commune with God? He said, if you commune with me, you'll raise with me, and you'll reign with me, you'll come back with me. If you die, you'll come back to life. He said, when Jesus, come on and say yeah, when he died so that we can have the right to eternal life. But he didn't stay dead, because early Sunday morning, he got up with all power. Anybody know it? That he had all power. Power to change the church. Power to change your life. Power to make you right. Say yeah. Say yeah. Won't God bless him? Won't he be a heart fixer? Won't he be a mind regulator? Won't he make your enemies your footstool? Say yeah. Won't he walk with you? Won't he talk with you? Won't he turn your life upside down only to turn it up again? He'll pick you up. Say yeah. Turn you around. Say yes. Bless your life and place your feet on solid ground. Ain't he all right? Say, ain't he all right? Say yes. I know he's all right. Anybody know it? I say, anybody know it? Ain't the Lord all right? If the Lord's all right, say yeah, say yeah. I know he's all right. Some of y'all looking like the Lord ain't done nothing for you. But let me tell you.